mighty, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does your teacher, why does your rabbi, why does your master, why does your pastor, why does your leader eat with tax collectors and sinners? First of all, tax collectors. IRS agents. Who wants to eat with them? Yeah. I had a church member once in a former church. She was an IRS tax agent. Now, she was a wonderful person when she was seated in that pew, when she was singing in the choir, when she was enjoying time together as a member of the church. But I'm going to tell you, I really didn't want to have her seated on the other side of the desk from me. Tax collectors and sinners. Why is your master, your teacher, your rabbi eating with such people? Such scum. Because that's how the Pharisees viewed the tax collectors and the sinners. The Pharisees were the leaders of the church, the community of faith, the synagogue. They were the righteous people, the good people. Why isn't your teacher, your rabbi, your leader eating with the good, righteous people, the leaders of the synagogue? If he's a good rabbi, if he's a good and smart teacher, if he's a wise Jewish man, he ought to be eating with us, not with them. That was the question that the Pharisees asked the disciples, and the disciples stood there, and I suppose Jesus overheard it and said in his response, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, they do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now, at first read, that kind of makes me uncomfortable. Sinners? I mean, usually when the term sinner is used, it's used against or towards us or about us, and it comes out as sinner. You are a sinner, sir, and you must repent. And it usually comes along with lots of finger pointing, you know. I had a teacher, kindergarten teacher, Ms. Hill, and she used to say that you got to be careful about pointing a finger at other people, because when you do that, you've got three other fingers pointed right back at you. You're accusing yourself when you do that. And yet that's what the church does. The church loves to identify sins, the things that you're not supposed to do. Don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. The church loves to set up lists and categories of sins. Smoking, drinking, dancing, gambling. And then we like to set up the really fun ones, the ones that start with S, you know, sex, fornicating and adultery. And ooh, those are the racy ones. We can have a good time setting up those categories and identifying those awful sinners in the congregation that don't belong here. How dare they come and eat with us and worship with us and sit in our chairs? They're awful sinners. They do this and they do that and do this other they're not supposed to do.
Your master eats with them.
The church just loves to set up those categories of sin. And usually, if we're honest, we hear ourselves in the midst of that, on one side or the other. What's sin? Think about it with me for just a minute. What's sin? I've used this illustration or talked about this word before here. It's a simple word in Greek, hamartia. It means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. It means to miss the mark, to fail to hit the target, to fall short when you're aiming at it, hit the ground between you and it. It means not hitting the broad side of the barn, even. Not even coming close. Close only works in horseshoes, friends. It means missing the mark. And theologically, it means missing the mark of God's will for you. It's not a list of things, don't do's, that people do do. It's, yeah, that there's a lot of meaning in that phrase. It's not a bunch of don't do's that people do do. It's, in fact, simply missing the mark of God's will for you. It's not living up to God's will for you. It's not living according to the way that God has for you to live. And that can be very individual for you. And you know it. If you know you're not living up to what God has for you to do and be, you know you're a sinner. And if you're honest, I think every one of us will accept that God has more work to do on us, on each of us. None of us. Now, we may be Methodist and moving on to perfection, but none of us are yet perfect, are we? Henry Ward Beecher, one of the peacocks of the pulpit back at the beginning of the 1900s, was preaching a sermon at a Methodist church up in New York. And in the middle, he was a Calvinist, by the way. And in the middle of his sermon, he stopped and said, "You Methodists believe that you're going to be perfect someday. Is there one of you here who's perfect?" And in the way back in the back of the congregation, in the sanctuary, this little lady stood up. And he said, "Sister, are you perfect?" And she says, "No, but my husband's first wife was." None of us are yet perfect, are we? That means God still has work to do on us. That means we're not yet fully and completely living according to God's will for us. And that makes us sinners. Not some list that somebody wants to apply. I couldn't care less what some evangelist says, "I'm not doing." It's what God wants me to do that's important. And when I fail, I know it. I don't need some bellowing condemnation machine to tell me I'm not doing it. I know. I have a secret sin. It's not so secret anymore. I told about it in the first service. I have a secret sin. Most of you know I love to go on cruises. I'm a chaplain for the Holland America Line. I enjoy going on cruises. I spend every single vacation day I have on a ship. I love it. And they've got lounges that you can go and dance and have a drink in. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a little old lady on one of the ships. I was chaplain. And on a ship of 2,000 people, you have just two dance hosts, gentlemen dance hosts, who will dance with the little old single ladies. And that's just not enough. So I was sitting in the lounge one night, having a drink with some of the ladies. And one of the ladies who came in with the walker got up and said, "Preacher, let's go dance." And one of the other ladies says, "Oh, he won't dance with you. He's the chaplain." And she looked at me and says, "Are you Baptist? Are you Church of Christ? No? Well, then you can dance. Come on." And I got up and danced with her. And dancing on a ship is fun. The ship moves and you do too. Ooh. Dancing, drinking, like a glass of wine with my steak. Sin sometimes is very relative. For me, the sin that is most alluring that I run into anytime I'm on a ship and have to go from one lounge to another, to the discotheque, to the piano bar, to the show lounge, to the dining room. Wherever you go, you got to go through the casino. Oops. And there we come up face to face with my number one sin. It's a chip. The Church of the Holy 21. It makes a nice sound, don't it? Makes it a lot better sound when there's a whole lot more of them, by the way. I kept this chip to remind me that gambling is a very enticing sin for me. You notice I didn't keep the $5 chip, and I didn't keep the $10 chip. I didn't keep the $25 chip. I kept the $2.50 chip as a reminder that gambling, especially blackjack, but poker too, where you have human interaction, can be an alluring sin for me. And it's easy to walk through that casino and to hear the activity, the clinking of the chips, the flicking of the cards, the people going, yeah, 21. Always split aces and eights, by the way. Double down, split. That's my alluring sin. And every time, and it's nice being chaplain, because when you're chaplain, you can't gamble. But it's when I'm on as so just a passenger. Ooh, it's tough. Because I know that for me, that would be missing the mark. That would be falling short of the target. That would be not living up to the will of God in my life. And it's people like me, and it's people like you. It's those who know that there is a luring sin that need a physician. It's those who know that they fall short that need a physician. It's those who know they have a spiritual illness that need a spiritual physician. Those who are self-righteous also need a spiritual physician, but they refuse to recognize it. That's the irony in what Jesus said. You know, those who aren't sick don't need a doctor. Those who are do. The problem is, and it's true in all facets of living, so often we refuse to recognize that we need a doctor, that we need Dr. Jesus. Oh, my friends, hear what Jesus says about mercy. That word for mercy is a powerful one, eleos. It means not passing the judgment that's due. Remember those three words, justice, mercy, and grace? I used them as an illustration once here. I said, justice is getting what you deserve. And if we are honest, we don't want what we deserve because we know we don't deserve much. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Justice, getting what you deserve. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. There's a powerful difference there. God gives us grace, that which we don't deserve, so that we can then turn and give mercy to others. So that we can turn and forgive the unforgivable. So that we can say, your sins are forgiven. God gives us that which we do not deserve, but so desperately need, God's love and God's presence, so that we can share with others forgiveness and mercy. That's why we need Dr. Jesus. That's why we need a spiritual physician. Mercy. We are called to share mercy with others, to be a people of mercy. And empowered by God's grace, we can be. We can be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.